Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. I want to share with you something this morning that isn't going to be new to you. It's probably going to be something that you'll have heard before, and yet it's good for us to hear. It's something that's been on my heart as we enter into 2020 and we begin to think about New Year's resolutions and things that we want to try and do and achieve across the year and the people that we want to be. And so it's something that's been on my heart, and I thought I would share with you this morning. So we're going to read Philippians 1. We're going to start in verse 12. This is what it says. "And I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in an envy way, whether the false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I will rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and through the help given by the Spirit of Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you, again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or I only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you're going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." Let's take a moment to pray before we look at this morning. God, we just thank you for your word. God, we pray that you would use it to challenge us, to build us up, to equip us, so that as we go out into our week ahead, that God, we can be used by you. And so we pray that for your spirit, you would speak to each and every single one of us in church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask the kids what are they passionate about, and it's a question I'm going to ask you. What are you passionate about? What are some of the things that you get really excited and fired up for? What are you passionate about? That's maybe a hard question to answer. It's maybe something that you've never really thought about before. So let me ask it slightly different. How do you like to spend your time? When you have free time, how do you like to spend it? Now, I know there's loads of parents around the room are going, "Peter, what is this free time that you speak of? That does not exist." Trust me, I'm beginning to understand that. I have not been out to play golf anywhere near as much as I used to. But how do you like to spend your time? Because how we spend our time is a good indicator to where our passions lie and what we have a heart for and where our focus is. For some of you, it's maybe family, and you love to spend a lot of your time with your family. For you, it's maybe your work and your career, and you invest a lot of time in your job. Maybe it's your schoolwork, and you really are focused on trying to do as best as you can in school. Maybe it's just hobbies. Maybe for you, it's church life, and it's reading and praying and worshiping. Maybe for you, it's gaming. A lot of your time is spent on the Xbox or PlayStation or flicking through social media on Facebook and then on the Snapchat and then on the Twitter and everything else that there is to do on your phones. What are you passionate about? I decided to Google this morning what are some of the top 10 things that we're supposed to get passionate about this year. And so here's the list. Number one is animals. We are to be passionate about animals, apparently. Number two is yourselves. The animals are more important than us this year. Number three is hobbies. Four is art, uplifting others, learning, simplifying, health, career, relationships. Lots of things that we're supposed to get fired up and focus on and strive to achieve and be passionate about this year. When I read our passage this morning, I get a sense of what Paul is really passionate about. And I want to look at three really simple practical things this morning with you. The first is this. For Paul, it is all about proclaiming Jesus. For Paul, that is what it is all about. Number two, there is always an opportunity to do that. And number three, it is important that we keep living a life worthy of the gospel. Those are three simple things that I want to look at from our passage this morning. It is all about proclaiming Jesus. There is always an opportunity to do that. And it's important that we keep living a life worthy of the gospel. As we go and begin, and we've almost come to the end of the first month in 2020, and we look ahead to the year and what we want to do and what we want to achieve, I'm going to look at those three things and how important they are, that we put them as a focus and a priority, and we get passionate about those. If you were to ask Paul, what are you passionate about? Paul, map out a list of the things that you see as a priority and things that we should be passionate about. I don't think football or golf or family or work or any of those things would have been high up on Paul's list. I'm sure Paul had hobbies. I'm sure Paul liked to do lots of different things. I'm sure he had family. But for Paul, they weren't necessarily a priority. For him, as he writes this letter to the church, and he does it from prison, a place where he spent an awful lot of time, and so he didn't have a lot of time for a lot of other things. Paul lets us know a wee bit about what he rejoices in and what he's passionate about. Look at verse 15 with me. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. What brought Paul pure joy and happiness in his life was not all of those other things, but more so knowing that through him and through the people within the local church, Christ was being preached, that Christ was being proclaimed. For Paul, as we know, and he's in prison, as he writes this letter to the church, and sometimes we don't grab the magnitude of that. Sometimes we read about how Paul and others in the Bible are persecuted and they're put in prison, and we in our culture don't fully grasp what that is actually like. For Paul, he's in prison for doing nothing other than share the gospel with other people, something that we should do each and every day. It's the equivalent of somebody coming in the door and putting me in chains for reading the Bible to you right now. And so Paul is in the middle of severe persecution for his faith, and yet in the midst of it, he still writes, I rejoice. I wonder how many of us, as we sit in prison, would say, I rejoice. I wonder how many of us, as we go through difficulties in life that don't really measure up to the level of what Paul is going through for our faith, get annoyed and upset and think, woe is me. And yet Paul, in the middle of it, says, I rejoice. I rejoice. He says it a couple of times. And he rejoices because he knows that the gospel is still going forth. He knows that others are actually beginning to boldly stand up and share their faith, boldly proclaim Jesus. He acknowledges that some are doing it for the right reason. They're doing it because they want to advance the kingdom of God. Some are doing it because they take seriously the great commission that God has given them. But some are doing it for wrong reasons. They want the prestige. They want to be seen by others. They're doing it for their own selfish ambitions. They're doing it to stir up trouble for Paul. And yet Paul concludes in verse 18 that if the true message of the gospel is being shared, if it is the true gospel, then the reason behind it for him doesn't matter, because as long as Christ is being proclaimed. For Paul, it is all about Jesus being proclaimed. He knows and understands that even if people are doing it for the wrong reason, that God can still take that and use it. That God can use it to change and transform people's lives, because it is his message, not Paul's message, not my message, not your message. It is God's message. And so he knows that God can take it and use it to advance his kingdom. Paul doesn't care about prestige. He doesn't care about status. He doesn't care about what other people are going to say about him or do to him. For Paul, it is all about proclaiming Jesus. He is 100% sold out to that. His life is completely revolving around that, the Great Commission to go make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Paul is completely focused in his life, like we should be, on glorifying God. John Piper said about Paul that Paul lived utterly for the glory of God through Christ. Life for Paul revolved solely around Christ. Everything revolved around him. Everything was about him. Paul acknowledges that in Romans 11:36 when he says, all things exist because they are from him and through him and to him. And so to him be the glory forever. Amen. Life revolves around Jesus. Paul is a servant of Christ. That's how he describes himself in Romans 1 to the church. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for what? Set apart for the gospel. His life is set apart from the moment he became a Christian, set apart for one thing, the gospel. Nothing else, not set apart for family, not set apart for work, not set apart for friendships or anything else. His life is set apart for the gospel. And his prayer and expectation for his life in verse 20 is that he would not be ashamed in any way in doing that. But with full courage, now as always, Christ would be honored in his body, whether by life or death. Paul is a servant of Christ, sold out for the gospel. For him, it is all about proclaiming Jesus. I wonder, is that how we describe ourselves this morning? As Christians, I wonder, is that what our priority is for this year? That we share the gospel. When you were thinking about your year and what you want to achieve and what you want to do, I wonder if the gospel and sharing and proclaiming Jesus was high up on that list. I wonder if our prayer and expectation this year is that we in no way would be ashamed of doing that. As our culture begins to turn further and further away from the church, as more and more pressure, and we are beginning to understand slightly more and more what it's like to be persecuted for our faith, is our prayer that we would never in any way be ashamed of the gospel, for standing up for what we believe to be true, for proclaiming Jesus. It's all about proclaiming Jesus. Paul says something incredible in verse 21. He makes this incredible statement. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. What shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. To live is Christ, to die is gain. A really famous thing that Paul said. To live is Christ. Paul is saying that if I am to live, if I am to go on, if I am to survive this time in prison, if I am to live and go on, I will go on for Christ. I will live and continue to know Christ, to love Christ, to serve Christ, to proclaim Christ, to advance his kingdom and suffer for him if I must. Life itself for Paul is Jesus. And for us as Christians, we are to live by that motto, to live is Christ. That is what life is truly all about. It is about us knowing Jesus, serving Jesus, loving Jesus, furthering Jesus, and suffering for him if we must. It is about us glorifying him in everything we do. That is what life is about. We maybe think at times it is about family. We maybe think it's about work. We maybe think it's about hobbies. We maybe think it's about school or sports, whatever it might be, but it's not. That's not what our life is truly all about if you're a Christian this morning. It's about in family and in school and in work and in our hobbies, that in all of those things that we keep on knowing Jesus, that we keep on proclaiming Jesus, that we keep on furthering Jesus, and we suffer for him if we must, because life itself revolves solely around him. That's what it should be, but is that true in our lives? Is that how we live our lives? at the moment. Our one true goal should be that of Paul's, to always proclaim Jesus. Your life right now as a Christian is about Jesus. You have one job this week, one job. This is your homework, to live for Jesus and take it seriously. That's it. Live for Jesus, and whatever you go on to do this week, wherever you are, live for Jesus and take it seriously. You wake up tomorrow and remind yourself, today, as a Christian, I live for Jesus. On Tuesday, as you wake up and you go into work, remind yourself, today, I live for Jesus. Today is the day you have made, God, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, and I will serve you, I will further you, I want to know you more, and I will suffer for you today if I must. But today, I live for you. That is all we are to do in our lives. Live a life worthy of the gospel. Live for Christ. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Paul goes on to say, to die is gain. When do we ever see death as a gain? But for Paul, it is, because he knows that he doesn't know if he's going to get out of prison. He doesn't know how it's going to go. He expects to, and he's convinced that he will, as he writes in his letter there, as we read this morning. But ultimately, he didn't know whether he would survive his time in prison. He didn't know what would happen. He didn't know if he'd live or die. But ultimately, I don't think Paul cared, because he understood that if he was to die, it would actually be gain, because what it meant was that because of his assurance that he had in Christ of an eternal life, it would be gain, because it would mean he would be with Christ for all of eternity. He'd be in the very place where it's all about worshiping God forever. And if he is to remain on earth, then he would just spend his time focusing on telling other people about that. Isn't that our joy as Christians? That no matter what life throws at us, no matter what happens in life or death, because of Christ, we can rejoice, because something greater is to come. Matt Chandler said this. He said, there is a greater day coming, a greater reward coming, a greater life coming, and the purpose of life while we are alive now is to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, which holds the promise of life everlasting. As a Christian, you're alive right now to proclaim Jesus. You're alive to live for him, knowing that in him you have the promise of eternal life with him. You're alive to live for him right now, but knowing that in him you have the promise of eternal life with him. I love what D.L. Moody, a famous preacher, once said. He said, someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Norfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it? Because in that moment, I shall be more alive now, or more alive than I am right now. We have something greater to come. We can rejoice and be glad that one day we will be with him for all of eternity. But as we live here on earth, our job is to share that with other people, to tell other people that they too can gain eternal life through Jesus. That's what Paul is focused on. To die was gain. It would be much better for him to go on and be with Christ, but to remain meant that he would live for the gospel. He would live for Jesus. To live is Christ. Church, we have an amazing opportunity every single day. As we go into our weeks ahead of us, we have this incredible opportunity for as long as we have breath to proclaim Jesus, to tell the truth of the gospel. The problem is sometimes we allow lots of other things to get in the way of that and to stop us. The stresses of life, the circumstances of life, we get so busy and we fill our time with so many other different things. For Paul, what is clear is that nothing else mattered. For Paul, it was all about proclaiming Jesus. And for Paul, there was always an opportunity to do that. Look at verse 12 with me. Verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Paul's been thrown in prison. He's been put there because certain people don't want the gospel message to go forth and to be advanced. And so they've put Paul in prison to try and stop that movement because they realize that Paul is a real key part in that and the gospel message going forth. Paul has done nothing wrong. He's committed no crime, and yet he's found himself in prison. And yet in prison, instead of becoming fearful, instead of worrying, instead of panicking, instead of doing what we tend to do in Northern Ireland, instead of getting annoyed at his injustice and putting his back up and fighting back because we have been wronged, we're great at doing that from time to time. Instead of doing all of those things, Paul instead is full of encouragement, full of optimism, full of enthusiasm to just seize the opportunity. He's found himself there. He can't do anything about it. And so instead of moaning and getting annoyed about it, he's like, do you know what? I'll use it. I'll use this as an opportunity. I'll use this as an opportunity to tell the guards that are around me about Jesus, to tell them about the gospel, and hope that they'll tell other people and hope that their lives will be changed and transformed. Let's use this to actually advance the kingdom. He uses his persecution. It's funny because when you think back to Acts and the story of Paul's persecution to the church, it was Paul when he was Saul and he was persecuting the church that Christians began to spread and flee the persecution. But as they did that, they continued to share the gospel message. And his persecution of the church began to advance the gospel and advance God's kingdom. And here, his persecution for his belief is still continuing to advance the gospel. Historically, as the church gets put under pressure, as Christians are persecuted, true Christians stand up for their faith. And the gospel continues to grow and grow and grow. So on a side note, and as our society begins to put more and more pressure on the church, more and more pressure on us as Christians for what we believe and why we believe it, there's no need for us to panic because our God's bigger. Our God is greater. We've just got to keep standing firm on our faith, continue to make proclaiming Jesus a priority, allow God to use it to build his kingdom and to advance it. And so Paul takes this opportunity that he has to share his faith. He takes the opportunity and he seizes the moment just where he is. I wonder, where's your opportunity this week to proclaim Jesus? Paul just did it where he was. Whatever circumstance he found himself in, here, let me tell you about Jesus. Where's your opportunity this week? This week, you're going to meet a lot of people. You're going to chat to a lot of people, think about a lot of people, pass by a lot of people, buy stuff off a lot of people. Where's your opportunity this week? Because there is always an opportunity. If Paul can use his time in prison to advance the kingdom, then surely we can use a conversation with our neighbor. Surely when we're having dinner with our family, we can bring up the conversation. Surely when we're in work or we're in school, we can take an opportunity. Surely those are easier opportunities than when you're sitting in prison because of the gospel. Where is your opportunity this week to proclaim Jesus? How are you going to take that opportunity? Every day we have an incredible opportunity. Every day we meet people who need to know what we know. People who don't know Jesus. People that don't know that they need his forgiveness and grace and mercy. We know they need it, and we know how they can get it. And so it's up to us. God doesn't need us to share his gospel, but he has called us to do so. He's chosen to use us to do it. And so let's pick up that call. Where is your opportunity to share the gospel this week? Church, let's use what God gifts us. So often we allow other things to get in the way and hold us back. This morning, let's repent of that and let's put it right. Let's start going forth, getting passionate about sharing and proclaiming Christ with others. Maybe part of that is we need to be reminded of the gospel. The gospel is not something that you need to hear once before you become a Christian, and then you don't need to hear it too often after that. Gospel is something we need to remember as Christians each and every day because it's completely changed and transformed our lives. We need to remember that every day we stand upon the grace of Christ, that we've been saved through faith in him and through that faith alone. We need to be blown away by it. We need to stand in wonder of the gospel like we once did. We need to fall in love with it once again. We need to get excited about it. Because when we get excited about stuff, you can't help but share those things with other people. And so let's get excited about the gospel, because that will mean that we will naturally begin to share it with others. Don't let the busyness of life and fear, selfishness, anxiety, the pressure to conform, whatever it is that holds you back at the moment from telling people about Jesus, don't let it do it anymore. Paul urged the church in verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Then whether I come to see you or hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Whatever happens, conduct your life, live your life in a way worthy of the gospel. Matt Chandler explained what he believed that means. He says it looks like dying with Christ to oneself and being raised in Christ to walk in the newness of life with our brothers and sisters. Dying to self means putting aside our wants, our worries, our fears, our ideas, our ambitions, anything to do with us, in order for all of the things to do with God. So let's not let ourselves and our lives stop us from doing what God has called us to do. Instead, let's step out in faith. Let's share the gospel. Let's live it out freely and openly wherever we are. People might make fun of you for doing that. People might reject you for doing that. And that can be one of the things that really holds us back. A fear of what other people are going to think. What is my husband and my wife going to think if I start telling them about Jesus? What are my grandkids going to think if I start telling them about Jesus? What are my friends in school going to think if I start telling people about Jesus? They might listen. They might not. They might have a go at you. They might not. They might make fun of you. They might not. But Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 5, he said, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. We are to rejoice and be glad when that happens, because something greater is coming, and we're just doing what God has called us to do. Paul in Galatians 1:10 said, are you trying to win the approval of man or of God? For if we are trying to win the approval of man, we can no longer be a servant of God. And so who cares what other people think? What matters is what God thinks. And he's called us to always proclaim Jesus. And there is always an opportunity for us to do that. And we've just got to keep living a life worthy of the gospel. And so don't let the fear of what other people are going to think hold you back from doing that this week. Maybe the fear is that you're worried about, I don't know if I'm going to say the right thing. How do I articulate this to other people? What's the best way for me to say this? And so often we allow that to stop us from telling other people about our faith in Christ. Peter wrote to the church, he said in 1 Peter 3, he said, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for your hope that you have. If you don't know what to say or how to say it, then there's no answer other than just go learn how to say it. Think about the gospel. Think about what it means to you and how it's changed your life. And find a way to articulate that. Practice it if you have to. Don't let that be an excuse. I don't know what to say. Don't let that be an excuse for why you don't share your faith in the workplace or at home or wherever you are. Go learn what to say and be proud of it. Don't be ashamed of it, but boldly stand up and proclaim it and share it. This week, we have an incredible opportunity to always proclaim Jesus. There's opportunities all around us to do that. This isn't rocket science. It's not something that's new to us as the church, but sometimes it's good for us to be reminded, to get given a bit of a kick and reminded, look, this is what life is all about. Our life is all about Jesus and telling others about him. There's about, say, 600 people in the room right now. And if we each share the gospel with one person this week, between now and next week, that's 600 people that have heard the gospel. If we were to share the gospel with just one person every day each, that's about 4,200 people who have heard the gospel this week. They might respond to it, they might not. That is not our job. It's not our job to save them, not our job to convince them. That's all up to God. All he's asked us to do is tell them. Like, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what he's done in my life and what he can do in your life. 4,200 people could hear the gospel if we tell one person every single day this week. And that's one. There's probably so many more opportunities for us to tell a lot more than one person, but we have to be willing to do it. I want you for a minute to picture someone you know in your life. I want you to get a picture in your head of someone you know in your life that needs to know about Jesus. And close your eyes and visualize them if you want, but just picture one person you know in your life that you're going to see this week that needs to know Jesus. If you've got a picture of them in your mind, hold on to that picture. Hold on to that picture. Pray for that person. Pray with that person if an opportunity comes. But make it your goal this week. I'm going to tell them. I know, I can picture, I can see them and know that they need to hear about Jesus. And so what's stopping you from telling them? Just go and tell them about him. And maybe this morning you're the person that somebody else is sitting thinking about. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you know that you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You need to hear the gospel and you need to respond to it. Maybe you're the one that needs to hear that you're created by God out of love for a relationship with him, but sin in your life has broken that relationship and separated you from God. But God in his love and his grace and his mercy has not left you in that place, but through Jesus dying on the cross, and his death and his resurrection has opened the door for you to be forgiven, for you to put your faith and your trust in him and find true life, life to the full, whenever you put your trust and your faith in him. Maybe you're the one this morning that needs to hear that and respond to that. My prayer is that you would. My prayer is that you would listen and that you would respond to the gospel. It's all about Jesus. Proclaiming him. There's always an opportunity for us to do that. And in our lives as we live it, live out our lives, we have to live in a life worthy of the gospel. We need to get fired up to do it. We need to get blown away by it. And we simply need to share it. As you think about what you want to achieve across this year, and the person you want to be, and what you want to do by the time it reaches 2021, how about we put that as a priority for us. Paul had a passion. His passion was Jesus. And so back to the very start, what's your passion? What are you passionate about? It's all about proclaiming Jesus. There is always an opportunity to do so. And it's so important that we just keep living a life worthy of the gospel, putting aside what we want in order for the things of God. I pray that you would do that this week. Let's pray.